You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
We're so glad that you're here joining us online. We used to have four campuses. Now we got 4,000 all over the place, different states, different places, which is great. But to be here at the Loop, or at Siena, or Cypress, or downtown, we're so glad everybody getting together. So whether you're on campus or online, we're just glad that you're here. It is particularly awesome. And I just want to say to those that are on campus at all of our campuses, man, yes, so good to be back together, isn't it? It is great. Such powerful worship. There's something powerful when we sing together and we're able to worship together and hear the Word of God together. If you got your Bible, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 24. And if you don't have a Bible and you're at home, go run to the other room and get your Bible and open it up to Luke chapter 24. If you're on campus and you forgot your Bible, stay seated. We'll put it on the screens. But to be able to look into the Word in just a second, in Luke chapter 24, we've been in this series called Five Conversations with Christ. And we're going to look at a conversation that Jesus is going to have. They're two men, and they're on the road to Emmaus. They're walking to Emmaus. You may have heard this passage before. And to be able to hear the conversation that Jesus has with them, because they are tremendously discouraged. You know, 2020 has been quite a year, hasn't it? Not quite what we thought it was going to be. It's something that we got to in 2020, and we went, oh, this is going to be great. It's going to be awesome. And then now, we're like, no, not so much. Think of how good it's going to be when 2021 gets here. We could just turn this page to be able to do it. We might not be able to meet together to celebrate it, but we'll be able to have at least a celebration that something's changing. So 2020 has been very difficult. It's been difficult for you students. It's been difficult for singles. It's been difficult for seniors. It's been difficult for marriage and parenting and work and everything and so many things going on in our society as well. It's just so discouraging. It's just a tremendous discouraging year in so many ways. And we got to be honest with that and just be able to say this is how it is at this point. One place of encouragement we had earlier in the summer, my wife and I and my kids, we got away and we went to Colorado. And we went to this place outside of Colorado Springs called the Garden of the Gods. It's this beautiful place with all these rock formations. And as we were there, we hiked around there and had a great time. And we were sitting up on kind of, you'd hike up a little bit. It wasn't, you know, Mount Everest, but we hiked up a little bit and sat down. And we're looking around, seeing the view. And a lady comes walking by and I see her T-shirt and I go, oh my, wait, ma'am, could you stop for just a second? She turns around, I go, that T-shirt is hilarious. And she said, oh, I know. I get stopped when I go to the mall. They handed them out at our office one day, and everybody just died laughing, and they couldn't believe it. And if I wear it to the grocery store, people stop me like you're stopping me now. And so my family and I were like, no way, this is incredible. So then I order a couple of them off Amazon because I thought, well, I want to get a T-shirt like that. And then my sister-in-law, Kelly, and I thought she would like it. She particularly likes kind of T-shirts that have little slogans and different funny things on them. So she's watching right now, sister-in-law. And so she got it. We got her a T-shirt and sent it to and gave it to her as a present. So let me show you the T-shirt that I got so that you could have it right here today and be able to see it. You ready? So here it is. Here's the T-shirt that I saw in Colorado and I got for you to see right here. 2020, one star, very bad, would not recommend is what it says. 2020, one star, very bad, would not recommend. So think about like Yelp or, you know, TripAdvisor, all those sort of things. Don't you agree with this shirt right here? 2020, go ahead and cheer. Just get it out. Just get it out. All campuses, online as well. One star. We're going to give it one star. That's why we're going to give this thing so far. It's been a discouraging year. Very bad. Would not recommend. Students, you were in school for a day, and then a hurricane comes, and we send you back home, right? So you may be discouraged at your home. You may be discouraged in your business. You may be discouraged in your neighborhood. You may be discouraged in what's going on in our society. You may be discouraged in a lot of different ways. So I want us to look at this verses or this passage of Scripture. We're going to walk through, and we're just going to get a lot of Bible and really get some encouragement from this. Because these guys that are on this path, they are on a path that you're going to see in a minute. They're discouraged. They're discouraged. So look in Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 17. Now let me tell you, verses 1 through 12 is the resurrection of Jesus. It's Easter is what that is, okay? And so Luke chapter 24 is where we're going to pick up. It's Easter Sunday, and I'll show it to you in just a second. And it says this in verse 13. Now, that same day, what day is that? That's the day that Jesus resurrected. That same day, two of them were on their way to a village called Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Together, they were discussing everything that had taken place. And while they were discussing and arguing, I want you to remember that in just a minute. Two different Greek words. Jesus himself came near. Oh, wasn't that great? And began walking along with them. But they were prevented from recognizing him. Then he asked them, "What is this dispute you are having with each other as you are walking?" And they stopped walking and looked discouraged. They stopped walking and looked discouraged. It's Easter Sunday, but what had taken place? They were ready for the Messiah to come in and take over everything. And he's been killed. He's been crucified. There's some people saying that he's been resurrected, but they don't know if they believe that or not. And so they're in a place where life is different than what they thought it would be. Let me just tell you this, newsflash. Life is always different than you thought. Life is always different than you thought. 2021, hopefully it'll be better, but it's going to be different than what you thought. Students, young singles, young folks, whatever it is, all the stuff you got planned in your head is not going to happen for your life. Not going to happen. Now, hopefully, it'll be better because Christ does immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. But it will be different than what you've got planned out in your head. It's always different. Marriage is different than what you thought it would be. Better. Parenting is different than what you thought it would be. Better, we hope, all of those things. I remember hearing of a book, and it was entitled this, "I Was a Wonderful Parent Before I Had Kids." Things are different when you actually get in the throes of parenting. It's different. I'll never say what my parents said, and you end up saying exactly what your parents said to your kids. So life is different than you thought. It's how it is. 2020 is different than what we thought it would be. Our high expectations have fallen a little bit lower. These guys walking thought, man, Jesus has come. The Messiah has come. This is the end of the Roman government, and we're going to just have a wonderful time. Everything's going to be great and cheery, and Jesus dies. He's crucified, and then he rises again, but they don't know if they believe that. Now, there's a couple things, though, that different can also bring. Let's look a little bit deeper. Did you see what it said in verse 15? It said, "And they, while they were discussing and arguing," they were discussing and arguing. Those are two different Greek words. The first Greek word is one that means talk, and it's one, it says, to converse. It would mean to converse or to talk with one another. The second Greek word is one that would mean discuss, dispute, debate, or argue. Even if you get further, I read it to you, Jesus asked him in verse 17, "What is this dispute that you are having with each other as you are walking?" Different can bring disagreement. Different can bring disagreement. You can have a difference in your marriage. She thinks this, you think that, and that can bring disagreement. There can be disagreement that happens from being different in your parenting, where your son and your daughter, what you think is parent, what they think is kid, it's different. There can be a disagreement. And that's okay. Notice in this a great example that they're showing us. They are still walking together, right? They're not walking opposite. They are disagreeing, disputing, debating, discussing, and talking, and they're still walking arm in arm. Different can bring disagreement, and that's okay. There's going to be some disagreements. And so we've got to be in our culture and in our society, in our marriages, in our parenting, in our workplace. You're going to have disagreements in your workplace. You're going to have disagreements with your parents, with your grandparents, whoever it is. But you've got to continue to walk together. That's what builds your marriage, actually. That's what helps your parenting, actually. That's where the discussions come, and you can grow in those things. So disagreement can come from things being different. But we have to be able to do that in the right way. Now, here's what happens, though, a lot of times with us, is we want to see disagreements in a biblical lens. We want to be able to interact with one another and get along well together. We can be different and disagree maybe on some things, but still be unified. If we put our eyes on the Lord, we don't want to be looking at our opinions. We want to be looking at his commandments. We don't want to be looking at our will. We want to be surrendering to his will. We don't want to be looking at our preferences. We want to be looking at his purpose, right? And if that happens, now I can look through this and I can love anybody I can love anybody of any color. I can love anybody of any age. I can love anybody of any background. I can love anybody of any whatever. I can be able to look through this lens and to say, Jesus Christ has called me to see the image of God in every person and to be able to love them and care for them. But man, that's not where our society pushes us, does it? It pushes us actually apart. Give you a couple statistics. Lifeway Research did a research study, and this is the percentage of Christians in the U.S. who say they use this every day. 66% of Christians in the United States are on Facebook every day. 39% are on YouTube every day. Many of you watching online right now, you're on Facebook or you're on YouTube watching. Good way to use it. You do it. That's great. 66% on Facebook every day, 39% on YouTube every day, 32% in the Bible every day. Now think about that. 50% less than Facebook. Less than YouTube. 32% of us are spending time in the Bible every day. And that's why the disagreements end up where we can't walk together and we end up going like this in a lot of ways. And so we've got to be able to say, Lord, we want to bring our hearts together. We want to be involved in your word. We want to walk in your word. We're going to see in this passage of scripture, Jesus is going to basically unveil the Old Testament to these guys, and that's going to change their life. Now, a social media strategist for Lifeway, his name is Chris Martin, he says this, social media is not necessarily biased leftward or rightward, it's biased downward. And what happens is social media has not made us more social, it's made us more antisocial, angrier, and more divided. And so that's what's happened in that. And so we've got to be able to come along and to say, Lord, we want to walk through the pages of your word to be able to go through. Now let me ask you a question. What are they arguing about? I don't know. You don't know. Scripture doesn't say it. We have limited information. But our society is a case study in unlimited opinions with limited information. Hear that again. Our society is unlimited opinions with limited information. I've had people come against me. You've had people come against you. And have you ever thought this? You have no idea what you're talking about. You've got unlimited thought. You have no idea of what you're really talking about on this situation. And so we have limited information, but we have unlimited opinion, and we get outside the word of God, and we begin to then operate in our own this, our own that, and all of a sudden, the division gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. But watch what happens in this. It actually goes another step. Different can bring disagreement. We showed you the Greek words, but it can also, different can bring discouragement. It can bring discouragement. Look at verse 17 of chapter 24 that we're going through. 17, it says this, then he asked them, Jesus is always asking questions, what is this dispute that you are having with each other as you were walking? And they stopped walking and looked discouraged. Different can bring discouragement. They stopped walking and looked discouraged. Now, this Greek word for discouraged, do you remember in Matthew chapter 6, verse 16? Jesus says, hey, when you fast, don't look solemn, don't look gloomy. Instead, wash your face and be happy to be able to do that. That's the same Greek word of discouragement to be able to have in that place. So don't be discouraged. Now, notice what happened in verse 17. They stopped walking and they were discouraged. What happens when we stop walking? We get discouraged. So I want to encourage you in your marriage, keep walking. In your parenting, keep walking. In your business, keep walking. In your neighborhood, keep walking. In your heart, keep walking. In your Bible, keep walking. In your faith, keep walking. Because whenever we stop and we get to that give up moment, discouragement just comes upon us like a blanket. Here's what Rick Warren says, gives us three causes of discouragement. They're really good. Cause number one, you might want to write these down, fatigue. When you're physically and emotionally exhausted, you're a prime candidate for discouragement. Frustration, when unfinished tasks pile up and you feel overwhelmed. Failure, when your plans fall apart, when the project collapses, when the deal falls through. We begin to go, oh no, things are falling apart. And those things can bring discouragement. But don't stop walking. Don't quit. Keep going. Let me show you probably the most encouraging verse of this whole passage. It's found in verse 15. Here's what it says. It says, and they while they were discussing and arguing, we talked about that. Now watch. Jesus himself, do you see the double emphasis? Jesus himself came near and began to walk with them. I love that. It doesn't just say Jesus came near. It says Jesus himself, double emphasis on his presence in that moment, came near and walked with them. And let me tell you what, these guys don't know it's Jesus yet. And that's not going to happen till the end. When you don't sense that God is with you, I want you to hear Jesus himself came near and is walking alongside you. When you feel like God is not there and it is hard, we know the facts of our faith, but feelings are strong. And so in that moment when you don't feel like God is there, I want you to know if you're a believer in Christ, the Holy Spirit lives inside your heart. You abide in him and he abides in you. No one can snatch you from his hand. Jesus himself is near, closer than a brother, and walking alongside of you. So keep walking and let God do something. Now watch what happens in this next part. It's the next part. Jesus is going to bring clarity in the confusion. That's what he's going to do. We're going to see Jesus bring clarity in the confusion. With the clarity in the confusion, he's going to unveil it. He's going to show it and go, wow, this is the clarity. They begin to go, oh my goodness, now I understand. This is Christ and this is what's happened and the resurrection's true and all of these things. Jesus brings clarity in confusion. Students, do you remember 6 months ago when you used to go to school? You remember that way back when? 6 months ago when you were in school and you were actually there, and you'd be in a math class, and you'd have a math problem, maybe you high schoolers, and it would be a calculus one or an algebra one, and you had worked on it, and you had thought about it, and you had tried to figure out, and then the teacher got up on the board and began to write it all out and put it all together, and you went, oh, X equals, oh, angle, side, angle, oh, all these different things. I'm making up words, I don't even know what they mean anymore. Tangents, I think, is in there, something. And so you got all these things. And all of a sudden, this math, it's crystal clear. Parents, you remember when you would come and you would sit with your student trying to help with their math homework, and they would show you how to do it, and it would come crystal clear again because you don't have a clue how to do their math anymore. You're just like, get a calculator. I don't know. Google it. Something like that. No. Don't do that. That's cheating. But we're clueless. But when that math problem comes out, you go, now I see it. Jesus brings clarity in the confusion. Let me tell you what, Satan always brings chaos and confusion. He always brings chaos and confusion because he wants to rattle us. So when you look and you see something chaotic, you see something confusing, and it's just gone to a level that's just a whole different level, and you're like, wait a minute, life's hard, but this something else is going on here. That's time to do spiritual battle and prayer. God, we need you because God is one of peace, and God is not a God of confusion. Doesn't mean life's easy, but Jesus is going to bring clarity out of the confusion. Now watch it in verse 18. Here we go, verse 18 and 27. So they're walking along, they're discouraged, but Jesus is right there with them. And the one named Cleopas answered him and said, are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that are happening there in these days? Isn't that awesome when you get smart aleck with the Savior of the world? I mean, isn't that great? You're like, Jesus is like, all right, buddy, okay, let's do this. So here we go. Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem that doesn't know the things that are happening these days? Jesus, very nicely, kindly, verse 19, what things? What things? Good parenting right there. Where were you last night? Because I've been tracking you on Life 360. I know. Are you going to tell me or not? What things? I put a little smile, winky face emoji out there on the left-hand side of the corner with Jesus saying that. What things? He knows everything, but he's asking him. So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth. Oh, yeah, that's me. Who was a prophet? Listen to this description of Jesus. Who was a prophet, powerful in action and in speech before God and all people. Wow. And how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we were hoping, remember that for a little bit, I'm going to come back to hoping, that he was the one who was about to redeem Israel. Besides all of this, it's the third day since all these things have happened. That's Resurrection Sunday. Moreover, some women from our group astounded us. They arrived early at the tomb And when they did not find his body, they came and reported that they had seen a vision of the angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women said, but they did not see him. Two more verses. And he said to them, how foolish and slow you are to believe, not the women, all the prophets have spoken. Wasn't it necessary for the Messiah to suffer and these things, suffer these things to enter into his glory? Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted it for them all the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. So let me bring this together. They say, don't you know what's going on? He says, what's going on? They say, this is Jesus. He was amazing. He was powerful in action, powerful in deed, with God, with man, and he was crucified. They tell the whole story, and their clarity is going to come in this moment, or in just a few moments, but here they're talking with Christ, and what does Jesus do? Jesus does something very interesting. Jesus does something very interesting. He then begins to share with them clarity in the confusion, and he goes through the entire Old Testament. He brings clarity in the confusion. He doesn't say, why didn't you believe the ladies? He says, why didn't you believe the prophets? Now, here's something neat. Why was it the ladies that went to the tomb? Do you know that the women were the first ones that discovered the resurrection had happened? Ladies, I want you to hear, in that day, women were not highly elevated. And God said, I want the women to be the first one to find the resurrected empty tomb. The greatest thing that's happened for equal rights is Jesus Christ. Because when you look through this, you don't see gender. You don't see race. You see the image of God in people. That's what you see. And so if we're going to spend 66% of our time on Facebook and not our time in here, we're going to get a bad view. But let's get our view like this, and we're going to be able to see this. So God sends the ladies. The ladies come back and tell them. But Jesus says, yeah, that's a good testimony, no doubt about it. But I want to begin with the scriptures. He's back. Remember I was telling you about the Bible. And he takes them through the entire Old Testament. He starts with Moses, and he says, why didn't you believe the prophets? Why are you so slow? He starts with Moses, and he goes through the scriptures, and he is walking near with them and right alongside with them. Wouldn't you love to have heard that sermon? Jesus unpacking the Old Testament of the messianic prophecies. Wow! Old Testament's confusing. No, it's not, Pastor. Well, you read Leviticus. You come back and tell me next week what you think about it. It's confusing in a lot of ways, but Jesus didn't come to confuse us. He came to bring clarity. And so he's saying, hey, this whole thing, this whole back half, because you guys are going to write the next half called the New Testament from the book of Acts on. But this back half, this is showing that God has a plan even when you didn't know it. And Jesus brings clarity in the confusion. And what happens next is absolutely amazing. Their eyes open up and they see clearly. Watch in verses 28 and following. Here we go. And they came near to the village, that's Emmaus, where they were going, and he gave the impression that he was going farther. So he's being polite. Now somebody says, would you like anything to drink? You go, oh, no, no, no. Would you like anything to drink? Well, okay, sure. And you kind of do that polite deflect for the first one. No, no, no. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We all do that. That's what's happened in this culture as well. You politely say, no, no, no. I need to keep on going. No, I don't need to come over. That's what Jesus does. Jesus is a gentleman. So here we have, he goes further, verse 28. They came to the village where he was going farther. He gave the impression he was going farther, verse 29. But they urged him, stay with us because it's almost evening. They wouldn't travel in the dark in this culture. And now the day is almost over. So he went in to stay with him. Now it gets cool. When he was, it was as he reclined at the table. Do you remember last week I told you how they reclined at the table on their left arm? As he reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Jesus takes on the role of the host. Jesus is the host in this moment. Verse 31, then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, but he disappeared from their sight. And they said to each other, weren't our hearts burning within us while he was talking with us on the road and explaining the scriptures to us? That very hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem. Let's just take a pause right there. So here's what happens next. Opened eyes and personal trust changes their life. Open eyes, personal trust changes their life. Do you remember when we had them? They were disputing and they were discouraged and they were kicking rocks on the road to Emmaus. And then Jesus opens up their eyes and it says they got there and he broke the bread. I don't know it. I'm not sure. Let's just take a guess. What if when he broke the bread, they saw the nail scars on his hand? What if? the body of Christ broken for you, and they saw the nail scars on his hands. We know in verse 40 it says, having shown him his hands and his feet, he shows Thomas and the other disciples. So maybe, just maybe, he broke the bread and they saw his hands. And at that moment, God unveiled their eyes and their eyes opened up and they went, oh my goodness, the Messiah is at dinner. Here he is. Weren't our hearts burning the entire time Jesus speaks? Why do their hearts burn? Because Jesus speaks to the heart, not just the ears. And so Jesus is speaking to their heart and then he disappears. Because he's now in a different glorified body, right, after the resurrection. He disappears. Now, I want to draw your attention. Their eyes open, their trust strengthened, and their lives were changed. But where were they previously? I had you, I pointed this out to you in verse 21. It says, but we were hoping he was the one about to redeem Israel. But we are hoping, okay? That hope, in the midst of their discouragement, is very different than the trust and the purpose they have here at the end of the passage. And let me show it to you. Hope can be one of two things. It's a great biblical word. Hope can be wishful thinking. I hope the Astros make it to the World Series. I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow. I hope that we get to do this. It could just be wishful thinking. There's a hope like that. But the biblical word of it is a confident expectation, right? See the difference? Hope that is a confident expectation. These guys were more of the hope that was wishful thinking. Okay? Let me draw the parallel. They hoped that he was going to be the one that would redeem Israel, that Jesus was going to take over, get rid of all these Romans, and everything was going to be fine. So Siena, Cyprus, downtown, listen, online, listen. But they didn't trust that Jesus was the Messiah. You see the difference? Here's the deal. They had to, instead, what the right verse would have been, this happened. He was crucified. And we had believed that he was the Messiah. We had placed all our faith, all of our trust in Jesus as the Messiah. They said, we hoped and it didn't turn out, so we're heading home from Jerusalem. I want to encourage you in this discouraging year, not to just hope things would be better, but to believe, but to trust, but to walk in faith, not to just hope your business that God will provide for you, but to believe and to trust that God will provide for your every need. Open eyes in trusting lives that God would do that in us in a huge way. And it is difficult on a one-star year. Kelly and I were with some people from our church and we were talking, and one of the people in the group, as we were talking, this person had such hope, had such belief, I should say, that God was going to do some great things through COVID-19 and through coronavirus. And it was awesome. It was inspirational for me and for Kelly. And so as this person began to talk, I said, you know what? God's going to do something. God's going to build our church back in a different way. God's going to do some great things. God's going to bring people to Christ. God's going to bring encouragement to our souls. God's going to move in our country. God's going to move in a great way. And Kelly and I are standing there listening to this person talk. And we're like, yeah, and in my heart, Kelly's always got more faith than me, but in my heart, I'm like, I hope so. I was kind of in the wishful thinking section there at that moment. So I just said to the person, I hope so. And then when I got to this verse of scripture, I was really like, that was my heart in that moment. It's kind of a little bit discouraged, really, of things. And instead, there's a difference when we say, I believe God's going to provide for us. I believe God's going to redeem and put back your marriage. I believe that God's going to take care of you in your singlehood. I believe that God's going to give you wisdom in your parents. I believe, students, that this journey you've been on is going to form you in a greater way in some way. I believe that the disappointments that we have, God's going to use for his great glory. I believe that the suffering of this present world is not worthy to be compared to what awaits. Do you see the difference in wishful thinking? And I hope that your faith is not wishful thinking. I just hope. Because there's a lot of things to be discouraged about. And we sure, and I sure can, I hope people come back to church. I hope this isn't the end of society as we know it. I hope that God will provide for me. I believe that the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. I trust that God will provide. Yeah, let's cheer. I trust that God will provide. I believe that this will be even something good in my kids' lives. I believe that God can do his work. That's the difference in wishful thinking of hope where they were earlier and deep belief when they see the nail-scarred hands. You see it? And the clarity Jesus brings and the scripture he teaches and the ways he unpacks it, it's not because Jesus' social media account, it's because of what's happening here and what God's doing, and he brings clarity in the confusion, and they invite him to stay and they dine together and their whole lives are changed. His whole lives are changed. Now watch what happens next, okay? Look in verse 38, okay? No, not verse 38. That's way too far ahead. That's the end of the deal. Okay, here we go. Verse 33. Their hearts are burning in us. Verse 33. And that very hour, when? That very hour, you hear urgency? They got up and they returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those that were with them gathered together who said, "The Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon." And then they began to describe what happened to him on the road and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Maybe it was his hands. I don't know what it was. God opened up their eyes. Verse 36, as they were saying these things, he himself, another double emphasis, he himself stood in their midst and he said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled, terrified. They thought they were seeing a ghost. Why are you troubled? He goes on from that. Don't have doubts. Arise in your heart with faith. He begins to talk about, here's what happens. The guys are sitting there and Jesus goes off. He disappears and they go, and it says at once they headed back to Jerusalem. You ready? Purpose eats discouragement for dinner. Purpose eats discouragement for dinner. We had two guys disagreeing, discouraged, walking on the path, but then they got the godly purpose, and watch what happened. They headed back to Jerusalem different. Guess what? We're coming back as a church. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. It won't happen. But we're going to come back different. We're going to come back different. These guys leave Jerusalem and go to Emmaus, and they come back different. And that's okay. They come back with a stronger faith. They come back with a stronger purpose. Purpose eats discouragement for dinner. That very hour, they were out the door and headed back to Jerusalem. How? Two by two, as Jesus sent them out previously in the scriptures. Not debating or discussing or mad at each other. They're going arm in arm together saying, "Lord, we're going with you and we're going to have purpose with you." Let me just give you something here. I did a little research on discouragement. I found a site that's not a Christian site. It's not a bad site. It just wasn't a Bible verse site. And they get 12 things about discouragement to help you get out of discouragement. Number 12, the last one, the one they put a paragraph with, a mic drop one, it says this: go find someone who you can help. This is a great way to alleviate discouragement. Go find someone who needs help and then help them. It's really that simple. When we serve others, when we go out of our way to help other people, we feel better. It's impossible to be discouraged when we're giving all of our efforts on behalf of someone else. That's good Bible. If they don't know, is good Bible. You know, and our whole society is trying to produce a kingdom without a king. It ain't gonna happen. You need a king to produce the kingdom that connects people, that makes them march arm in arm with a great purpose together of who God has made them and what that's about. So purpose eats discouragement for dinner. And these two men, isn't this a beautiful picture? Go back and join with the other disciples. Unity comes. Why? Because of clarity of Christ. And they come together and they go, "Wow, look at Jesus. Wow, there he is." And he shows his hands and his feet. And what happens is they end up with a t-shirt change in their life. A t-shirt change in their life. Let me show you what I mean by that. I want to get to the scripture here that I want to read to you in just a second. What will happen is life is changed. Life is still hard, but life begins to be changed. So we got this here, 2020, one star, very bad, would not recommend. I'm about the same height, but I wish I had these muscles that this mannequin has. But that's just not how God made me, so that's okay. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made small, and that's just how it goes. You know, I was called Greg Mott the Tater Tot my whole life in middle school. So just want you to know. I've been in counseling. It's okay. So this is it. All right. So here we have 2020, one star, very bad, would not recommend. But see, if we get our purpose and we get our mind on what God can do in us and through us and the ways that the Lord can use us, this is actually from our student ministry, a t-shirt from an event that we did. And you know what, students? We're looking to you. It says in Timothy that don't let anyone look down on your youthfulness, but be an example in all that you do. So revivals come out of students. They usually don't come out of adults and the rest of us. It usually comes out of the students. So students, your life is important. And so this shirt came out of our student ministry. Now, which shirt are we going to walk with? This one says, pressed but not crushed. Pressed but not crushed. Here's what it says. Let's cheer for that. Let me give you verse 7 and 8. Treasures in jars of clay. Now we have this treasure in clay jars. We're weak. Why? So that this extraordinary power may be from God, not from us. We are afflicted in every way, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but we are not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around the death of Jesus in our body so that the life of Jesus may also be displayed in our body. So I ask you this. Is this going to be you in 2020? This is what's got to be us. Pressed, but not crushed. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Is this true? Oh, yes, it is. It's a one-star year. No, there's no question about it. Very bad. Would not recommend. Might even get worse. But if I can get the Word of God in my head, I can be this. I can have the mind of Christ. I can understand the Old Testament. I can see God in the Red Sea. I can see God in the walls coming down of Jericho. I can see God in the cross. I can see God in the resurrection. I can see Christ in Acts. I can see Christ in Romans. I can see Christ when he goes to Corinth and declares the gospel. I can see Christ in Timothy when he sets up the church. I can see Christ in all of these books of the Bible until finally, when we'll get to it in weeks, we'll see Christ in Revelation. And say, oh, the suffering of this present world was not worthy to be compared to the glory that awaits. And now I know it's you. So I want you to walk encouraged in a difficult time, believing deeply in Jesus. It's a one-star year, no doubt about it. But we can still be on our walk. We're all on a journey, knowing that He Himself, Jesus Himself, comes near and walks alongside of us. And He is with us on the journey. So let's get back to Jerusalem different than how we left, with purpose deeper in Christ. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that you are great and mighty, Lord. We believe in hope, biblical hope, a confident expectation, and we do hope in you. But we don't want to live by wishful thinking. I know for me, wishful thinking is just at the whim of my emotions. And so we pray, God, that we would walk in a great way to love you, to trust you, and to thank you. Do your work, God. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, would you just pray right now and say, Jesus, I want you to save my soul. I want you to forgive my sins. Maybe He's opened your eyes to this Messiah. Ask Jesus to be your Savior. Right where you are, online, any campus. If you're a believer, would you say, strengthen my belief, God? Let me send you on my journey. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.